Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Your 1 Hour Inspirational Programming. I'm your host and facilitator, Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 90 minutes tonight. We've got a live show, and this is only part one of the show. This show is going to be very interesting, and we're going to have Ms. J come on momentarily, and she's going to give you our disclaimer for this show and all of our shows in just a moment. But first, we're going to get started by calling on the international man of the hour himself, Pastor Rowe, and ask if he'll just invite the Lord into our presence tonight, because we're going to need him tonight, because this is a very deep show. Pastor Rowe, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Dr. Walker, it's great to be on this show. Merciful and eternal God, our Father, we come to you even right now just to say thank you, Lord. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, just for... And we reverence your name that is above every name, that at your name, Lord, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Thank you so much for our beloved leader that you have given to us, Dr. Jesse Walker, Lord, that have a purpose and a mission, Lord, to help those that are less fortunate, to help those that are homeless, to help those that need love and kindness, Lord. And we pray you will undergird him and be with him as all of us work together to carry out that mission and that purpose, which has to do with just helping the less fortunate. Thank you for our family we have at the Blog Talk Radio Show. Continue to be with all of us, Lord, in the discussions that we have tonight. Let it be something that can help improve ourselves, Lord, in our relationship with you. Lord, if you do these things, we'll be so careful to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. This prayer we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Pastor Rowe. We certainly do appreciate you. Let's go ahead and welcome Darren Deedy to tonight's broadcast. Darren Deedy, it's a good pleasure and honor to have you on board with us. Welcome.
Thank you so much, and I'm so happy to be here tonight. It seems very interesting, and I'm looking forward to tonight's topic.
Excellent, excellent. Let's go ahead and welcome the lady from the Peach State herself. The queen of the Peach State, Miss J. Miss J, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's an honor and pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much. I was born and raised in Georgia, so I am a true peach. But I'm glad to be here, and I'm excited about the program and interesting to find out everybody's thought on the topic.
All right, Miss J, if you'll go ahead and give us our that disclaimer, we certainly would appreciate it, because that's going to be very important in tonight's broadcast.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice, and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the program tonight.
All right, excellent. We certainly do appreciate you and all of you all. Thank you for that disclaimer. We're going to go ahead and welcome the Demon Slayer himself, Pastor Lorenzo. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, and let's have a good time with this show tonight.
All right, excellent. Let me begin by tonight's topic. If you're just joining us, we're Adam and Eve, God's creation. Adam and Eve, were they led into temptation relative to the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Were they led into temptation relative to the tree of knowledge of good and evil? So let me begin by, Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in first and ask you, how would you define the word temptation? We had a very deep show on that last evening, and you all can certainly go into the archives and check it out at drjessewalker.com. So, Demon Slayer, tell me, how do you define temptation?
I guess it's something that tempts you to, gets you to do something other that you were planning to do. Or you can have it, you're doing good, and then something, you know, causes you to go another way. In instance, you're doing good now. You've been out doing for a long time, and you've been going through the steps and all that other stuff, and all of a sudden something triggers you to go right back to where you're at. But you have a choice to do that or not. But it's that temptation that make you put in your head, that make you decide to go one way or another.
All right, that's how we certainly do appreciate and respect your opinion. Let's go ahead and welcome James all the way from South Florida. James, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure and honor to have you.
How you doing, sir?
Oh, we're doing just great. Thank you for taking time out. I know you're quite busy, but we saw you come up in the queue, and we're glad that you're here. Tonight's topic is where Adam and Eve led into temptation relative to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Darren Deedy, I want to bring you in here. Darren Deedy, this is an important question. Darren Deedy, how do you define temptation? Do you define it any different way than the Demon Slayer defines it?
Well, I absolutely agree with him, but it's kind of like last night's topic. It's almost like it's, we're born with this temptation addiction, if I could call it an addiction. You know, someone says not to do something and it makes you wonder what would happen if I did, you know, kind of thing. So, the apple was very appealing. It, you know, the look of it, I probably would have picked the apple too, to be honest.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, but before you go, Darren Deedy, who told you it was an apple? Where'd you get that from?
That's just my taught. I was taught it was an apple. It was off the apple tree.
Okay.
And it was
okay.
Forbidden fruit. Yeah.
Right, forbidden fruit. That's what it said. So, Darren Deedy,
yeah.
Is it? Would you say that we can create our own thing when it comes to the Bible for our own interpretation? Just as the Bible says a forbidden fruit. It didn't specify
what
type of fruit. So, would you say that we do that throughout the Bible to justify what we want it to be or how we see it? Is that fair to say?
It could be. I would agree. I would agree. I'm not sure how I learned it in my lessons, but it's not something that I thought myself is a forbidden fruit. I think it's just something I've learned.
Okay, we're getting to tonight's topic. So, Darren Deedy, while I've got you here, would you say that when, you know, my mom and grandmother would often tell me and that cleanliness is next to godliness, and I'm certainly seeing that as scripture, would you see that as scripture if your parents were telling you that? When they wanted you to clean up?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And I've heard that my whole life, yes.
You have, okay. And do you know that is not even in the Bible? That is not scriptural?
That's funny. I know.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So having said that, it is possible that sometimes even ministers can present something. And if we don't study to show ourselves approved, which is what the Bible requires us to do, is it possible that we just accept what someone has told us? Like I've heard ministers say it's an apple, you know, when in fact that the Bible does not specify that. Is that fair to say that we sometimes just accept what someone tells us?
It's so true, especially when you have someone in a leading type of a position, one that's teaching you, and you hang on to these little bits of information.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Darren Dean. We certainly appreciate your commentary.
Thank you.
Mr. James, I want to bring you in here, Ms. James. This is the big issue tonight, and this is only part one. Do you feel that God tests us? Because, you know, when you think about Abraham, you think about Moses, you think about Daniel, you think about Job, you think about Adam and Eve. Does God test us, Mr. James?
No, God does not test us. Temptation, when we are drawn away, temptation by our lust, and when that lust is fulfilled, it is sin, and the wages of sin is you lose your eternal life. God created good and evil, but he also said, choose you whom this day who you want to serve. He presents both options. He could make us serve him. It's not what he wants. So when we choose the wrong thing, and the only way to know what the wrong thing is to study and meditate on the word every day as God told us to do.
I see. Okay, so, Mr. James, I want to go here and ask. You say God does not test us, and we respect all opinions. So when God, the devil, if you please, he came through, mm-hmm. and he was going to and fro. Okay, the Bible tells us he was going to and fro, looking for someone to deceive. And God said to him, according to Scripture, have you considered my servant whom? Who did he mention?
Job,
exactly. So the devil told God, he said, well, if you take your hand off of him, he will curse you and die. And God gave him permission to do so. He gave the devil permission. So I'm asking you, Mr. James, was that a test for Job, for his faith, to see if, in fact, he would curse God and die? Because remember what his wife said. She said, why don't you curse God and die? Because all that had come upon him. So talk to me, James, please.
That wasn't God testing Job. That was Satan testing Job to see what his resolve was, to see if he could make him curse God and die, to see if God said, you can do everything, but don't touch his body. Don't take his life. And when Job took his family, his cattle, his everything, God, you know, Job's wife said, why don't you say these things to God and die? And Job said, you talk like a, you know, crazy lady. Then Job had gone back, and he said, well, you know, it's easy for a man to bounce, it's not what he said, but he said, well, let me touch his body. God said, okay, touch his body, but don't take his life. So all the boils. Job, it was his resolve. So it wasn't God testing Job. It was Satan wanted to make a mockery of Job and make him test God so he could make God out of a lie. So that was Satan testing Job. You know, even when Abraham took his son Isaac up and he was get ready to take his life. And just before he did, the angel came down and grabbed his hand. And God said, now I know that you are going to do these things. Now, people say, well, God knows everything. But why did he say that? Why did he tell Abram, now I know? You know, so it was not God testing. God said, listen, if he does it, that's fine. Job knows what his, you know, consequences are. But it was more so Satan trying to break Job to make a mockery of God, which what Satan does. He said, I'm going to go through the earth, and I'm going to seek and see who I can like destroyed, because Satan knows what his face is, what
his face is.
He wants to take
we're gonna ask
as
you to
many
stand
of
by.
Us as possible.
Right. We're going to ask you to stand by.
Sorry,
we certainly appreciate
so long.
All here tonight, you all. And also, and as Ms. Jay gave that disclaimer, you know, we're not necessarily endorsing, we're not endorsing all opinions, and even mine. I want to give my commentary on tonight's broadcast as well. And even though we may not all see it the same way, we certainly welcome and respect all opinions. Now, my just thought on this is God does test us. He tests us. He tested Adam and Eve. He tested Job. He tested Abraham. You know, and we may see it differently, and I'll give my rationale as we go throughout the program. I want to go to Sir Ben. Sir Ben, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's good to have you.
Good evening. It's good to be on the show.
All right, so Ben, let me begin with you as well. Let me continue here and ask you, because I certainly believe that God tests man. He tested. I believe he tested Adam and Eve. And so, Sir Ben, two things here. One, when God, do you first and foremost, do you believe that God tests man?
Absolutely.
Okay. And why? Why do you say he tests man?
Well, because we are human beings with our own free will, and that remember, that's the key. Our own free will. What God is doing is allowing us to utilize the free will that he's given us. And he wants to know, are you doing it for my glory or are you doing it for your glory? And we have the right, not saying that one is not right and the other one is wrong. No, he just wants to know where your heart is and where your mind is. Because remember, Satan put to him, oh, they only worship you because they are afraid of you. The key word, they're afraid of you. But God said, no, no, no. They have their own free will. They can make their own choice. And that's why he tests us, to see where we are in our journey.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a look at something also with even Abraham. When he put, the angel put in his heart to take his only son up there, to take Isaac up there, to slay him. And Isaac, in his obedience, went with his father, but he didn't know what his father was planning to do. He thought he was going to get just a lamb and put it up there on that altar to sacrifice. And then when Abraham was about to come down, as Mr. James has said, the angel grabbed his arm, and that was a test that now God knew. This is just my opinion. That God knew then what he did know at that time was that Abraham was obedient. That's what he's testing, obedient. We're going to get to the tree of knowledge of good and evil in just a moment. So, Sir Ben, I want to bring you back in here. Do you see it anything different than that being a test? Your child, you're putting your child on the altar. You know, your child, to slay that child. But then God had a ram in the bushes that he brought out after he realized Abraham was faithful and obedient. Sir Ben, do you see it any other way?
I do. And so let me add to that. That whole story was a test. From the moment that God said, hey, I'm going to give you a son, Abraham was like, oh, man, I'm too old. He went to his wife, oh, no, I'm too old. So that was a testing in the beginning. So when God, the miracle was presented, because, as you know, they tried to do their own God, like they ain't going to have another kid. But in the process, God was saying, okay, I've given you the miracle, and now I'm going to see if the miracle is more important than me, or if you're going to be more important to say, look, God, I'm going to honor you no matter what you tell me. So the fact that he took the little boy up there, he didn't tell his wife now, because if he would have told his wife, ooh, he would have got a beat down and probably got killed in that process, because ain't
absolutely
no woman going to let you take that child up to nowhere. Come on, I'm going to sacrifice because God get, uh-uh, she ain't going to let that happen. Even though he gave her a baby at an old age, and even though she knows about who God is, you start talking about a woman's child, you're going to see the evilness of some people come out, because they love those children more than they love the husband, themselves, and even sometimes God. No disrespect, but that's just the way it is, the connection between a mother and a child. So in the last point I'm saying, when Isaac was up on the he knew, because he hadn't been and seen his father sacrifice before. When he didn't see an animal, a lamb, he knew then that he was the sacrifice. So
all right.
Quick, 2 seconds. we say there was a ram in the bush. I believe God already had the ram in the bush. He just didn't let it be known to Abraham.
I agree with that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. He already had it there.
Yeah.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. He already has things in place because we're going to get to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because, and yes, God is omniscient, like Mr. James says. He is omniscient. He knows it all. And I had a conversation earlier prior to the show that God already knows what we're going to do before we do it. So it's kind of like, I don't know if it's a challenge to himself or a test, you know, because of that free will that we have. We're going to ask you to stand by, Sir Ben. Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in here. Ms. J, stand by. Pastor Roll, tonight's topic. Pastor Roll, the garden, and correct me if I'm wrong, the tree of knowledge was in the center of the garden. The center of the garden, where Adam and Eve had to pass. And so would you say, Pastor Roll, I'm asking you, do you think it being in the center of the garden of all places, a tree to behold the eyes, would you say that it was placed in the center of the garden for a reason for Adam and Eve to perhaps be tested?
Well, I think, I believe so, without giving it a lot of profound thought. The thing it is, you know, everybody, is tempted. They want to be smarter than other people, you know, and knowledge, you know, the tree of knowledge. My goodness, it was fighting, you know. I'm going to be, you know, more knowledgeable than, you know, other people, so on and so forth. But I think they was lured, you know, to that because they wanted to have, you know, a lot of knowledge, you know, and God had told them what not to do, but they was motivated by Satan, you know, and so it was there, you know, to test their obedience. I mean, that's just
okay,
my
so,
thought.
So your answer to the question is, were they tested? Was the tree in the center of the garden? This is a question. Was the tree placed in the center of the garden for a test for Adam and Eve?
I think so.
All right, so you used the word lured. They were lured. So who lured them? Let's be careful in what we're saying based on Scripture. Who lured them into that path?
I feel it was Satan. That's why it said, you know, bruise his head before he bruise your heel. You know, Satan was thrown out of heaven and brought down one-third of the angels, you know. And so the one that lured the people that was close to God, the angels, the archangels, you know. Well, my God, if he did that, what is he going to do for us, man?
Yeah, before we get to that part, what he'll do to us, but the question mm-hmm. becomes, the tree was in the center. And then mm-hmm. the serpent, as it was at that time, was already in the tree. He was already in the tree. And so the tree being in the center, who put the tree there? And
well,
how were they lured
hold on
there?
Hold on one second. Who is it?
All right.
Oh, okay.
Let me
pass on because I got somebody knocking on my door. Okay.
Let me send you over to Miss J right quick. Miss J, the center
yes.
tree in the center of the garden. Now, the serpent was already in the tree already. So now, here we have it. That who placed the tree in the center of the garden? And why do you think it would be, of all places, a tree to behold the eye placed in the center of the garden?
You know, this is my thought. You know, God placed it in the center. And he placed it there as a test. And I feel, from my understanding, he allowed the serpent to speak to Eve. And, he, you know, the temper to encourage her, to let her think that God was a killjoy, that he was just lying to her, that you can come and get some of this if you want, because he can let you. And then she said she'll die, but he said, no, God just fooling with you because he don't want you to be like him. And by her being naive, she said, you know, everybody want to be like God, if you know, I probably should back then, you know. So she was tempted, and the serpent made it sound so good to she like, wow, if I could be like God, then she did it. But that was a test, and
all right,
I feel
so,
he allowed
so,
the serpent to test her.
All right. So would you say that, Miss J, in your honest opinion, and of course we respect all opinions, you read the disclaimer, would you say that God tests us?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
I feel he puts us in difficult situations just to see, like you say, for us to trust him and be obedient to him, you know. But he's always going to bring us out when he put us in those situations. I do feel that.
Okay. So he already knows what's going to happen, right?
Exactly.
So I want to go back to something. I want to go someplace here now. And I want to ask this question. We're going to bring Mr. James in just a while also. So the disciples, when they were on earth here with Christ, and they wanted to know, how should we pray? How should we pray? But before I get to what I really want to say, I want to ask this question. Missy, I want to ask you, do you think God would lead us into temptation? Missy, what do you think?
He leads us to temptation, but not to evil. He will lead us into that temptation.
That's deep, Miss Jane. For that God would lead us to temptation, to be tempted. That's deep, Miss Jane. That God would lead us into temptation? Is that what you're telling us?
I know the prayer say, lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But in the testing part, he will do that to make sure that you trust him and believe in him. You know, sometimes you got to wake up these sinners. And, you know, I feel he do.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Before we go to Mr. James, Sir Ben, I want to bring you back in here. Now, here it is. We're talking, and you all, this is almost like a puzzle. You got to figure it out. You really got to figure this stuff out. And the way to figure it out is you got to study for yourself. That's what the Bible commissions all of us to do. So, Sir James, I want to... Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here and ask this question. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, lead us not, he's praying to the Father of the Trinity, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not. In other words, if we paraphrase that, is that, God, please don't lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. So you got two different components there. Don't lead me into temptation, and if I go in a certain way, you know, that's evil, deliver me from that evil. So now, Sir Ben, the question is, is that to suggest, to infer, or is it an inference that God could lead us into temptation? How do you see it?
Okay, so I had to take a minute to really ask for clarity on that. And here's what I'm going to give to you. When we pray, when we fast and pray, that is a very, very powerful tool in our arsenal of gifts that we have. Fasting and praying gives us innumerable power. So I just want to pose this to you. I just want you to think about this for a second. When we're praying for deliverance from something, or we're praying for something that's going to give us a greater walk, a greater relationship with God. Here is the spin on that I'm trying to really, really understand and work with. We also have the power to speak evil and pray evil over people. And so what's been given to me is when he was saying deliver us from evil, because as you know, most of the disciples were not very good people. They had their own issues, and most of them were considered to be nasty. So how many times have we as a people, man, I wish she would die. Ooh, be careful, because our words have the power of life and death. And so how many times do you think that people don't pray negative thoughts about you, or conery or trickery or ritual, just stuff to throw you off? And so what I'm saying is that's what he was inferring to. They were inferring to lead us not into temptation, because we can easily become so consumed with our own selves that we think we could pray anything into existence, or we think we could just say and do anything. And that is the worst kind of temptation you can ever get into. The power to say, I can just
wish that person die, or I wish that person fail, or I wish that person just, they hurt me. I want that hurt person to be hurt too. That's not where we want to be at, and that's a temptation that we definitely don't want to engage in.
All right, so let me go back to the original question. Maybe I missed something here. So let me go back for clarity here. Would that prayer that Jesus taught the disciples to pray, that component of it only, would that infer, could that be viewed as an inference that God could lead us into temptation?
Well, God's will is never to directly leave us into evil. That would go against everything
temptation,
that God says.
Temptation, not evil now. Temptation.
Yeah.
The temptation.
But what we have to first decide, what is a temptation? And what does a temptation do to us? That's why I was referring to people praying against you, evil thought. That is a temptation because we are human beings. When you get mad at somebody, you want to say something that, I pray that they don't have no success in life. I've heard people say that. I pray for that. Nothing that they do. But wait a minute now. That's a temptation for us to say that to somebody. Oh, I pray that they don't make it through. Or they're so nasty. I pray that their life just – that's inferring to a temptation to want to speak evil over somebody.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We were looking at definitions of temptation at the beginning of the program, and that's what we started out with. How did people interpret the word temptation? We're going to bring Sheila in. Sheila, thank you for joining us tonight. It's a pleasure and honor to have you. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
All right, so my understanding is you were, if you don't mind me saying, married to a minister for a number of years. Is that right?
Yes, sir. 32
Okay,
years.
So let me ask you this question. In perhaps some of his ministry, have you ever come to the point of thinking that maybe God would lead us into temptation? Did he ever speak on that?
Well, if you look in the Bible on James 1:13, it says, "For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." And I think what we're talking about two different things here. Temptation is one thing, and being tested is a totally different situation. The temptation in the biblical sense is the situation where, like, you experience a challenge or you choose between fidelity or infidelity to your obligations toward God. So you might choose right or wrong depending on, you know, what the temptation is. That's a temptation in the biblical sense. A test, of course God tests us, and he ordains tests for us not for his sake but for our sake.
Okay, so you're saying you believe that God does test us. Is that fair to say?
I think he allows us to be tested, yes, or not for his sake, but for our sake, to grow our faith, for an example.
Okay. So, all right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. J, I want to bring you back in here before we go to Pastor Rowe. And, Ms. J, I want to ask this question here now. Adam and Eve, remember now, Eve was never, Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. Does that make a difference, Ms. Jay? Really?
Not really, because he followed Eve. Whatever she said, he did it. So even though Eve was the one that was deceived, Adam, he followed her into what she said. So
both
played a part.
Right. So, Ms. Jay, was the serpent telling a full truth or a half truth or a half lie? I mean, some of what he said
was lying. What he was lying to me, because, you know,
did he lie completely? Was it a complete lie? Huh? Was it a complete lie?
Yeah, because he was telling them that what God was telling them was a lie. You know, say he just joked with them because they could eat this fruit and they're not going to die. But if you eat it, you would be like him. So, you know, he done twisted that thing all the way around.
Right.
So he wasn't saying nothing, you know, for God's sake.
Right. So then he also say that your eyes would be opened.
Yes.
And you will know good from evil. Did he not say
yes.
that?
Yes,
all right,
did.
So then part of what he said was true. Because
yeah,
prior
because
to that, Adam and Eve
yeah.
did not know that they were naked. Remember that?
Exactly, yeah.
So why do you think God hid that from him, or did he?
Why did he hide it from him? You know, that's a good question. I don't know whether God intended for them to find out at a later state, but wanted to know whether they could trust him and don't bother and don't eat from the tree. You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
Okay. All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in here. We're running out of time. I got to go a little faster. Sir James, stand by. We're going to bring you back in here. Pastor Roll, if you're available. Are you there, Pastor Roll?
Yes, sir. I'm here to Dr. Walker.
Okay. Pastor Roll, so now here we have Adam and Eve with the tree in the center of the garden, Pastor Roll. Now, some have said God tests us. Some have said God does not test us. We respect all opinions. Pastor Roll, with that tree being there, the woman was deceived. Adam was not deceived. God gave him direct instructions. Direct instructions. Now, Pastor Roll, the question to you is, this is a specific question. A specific question. Why do you think God even asked Adam, where art thou? Why do you think he asked him that? As if he didn't know. Why, Pastor Roll?
Well, it may have been, where was he in his thoughts and so on and so forth. But, you know, we can be tested. You know, look at Jesus when he was up in the mountains, you know, and he got hungry. And, you know, and the devil came along to him and said, you are the Son of Man. You know, I know your hunger. Command that these stones be made bread, you know. And how did Jesus respond? You know, it is written. It is written. It is written. Man should not live by, you know. So if the same devil that tried to tempt and test Jesus, the same one going to test us. But then we get, when all is said and done and the dust settle, we have to say it is written. It is written.
Okay, Pastor Roll, I'm not sure if I missed something because I'm not sure if I got your I got a response. I'm not sure if you were answering the question. Why? The question again is, why did God ask Adam, where art thou, when God knows everything? Why did he ask him that?
Well, to see what his response was. You know, I haven't done a commentary on it, but I'm just, you know, God would ask us questions to see how we respond.
Okay.
To just to
now,
give
you know,
an example, to give you an example, you know, I mean, we got a lot of jokes like yourself, you know, I mean, making thousands of dollars a day. But, you know, why did you give it up? You know, because you wanted to please God. Look how God has blessed you. Now you're all over the world with Blog Talk Radio Show.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sir James, I want to bring you in, and thank you for your patience. Thank you for your patience. Sir James, I want to ask you the same after you give your commentary on what some of the stuff that's been said. And we got to go a little faster because we're running out of time.
Okay.
Sir James, why do you think God asked Adam, where art thou, when he's omniscient, already knowing where Adam was?
Okay, let me start from the beginning. When Satan and his angels got kicked out of heaven, the archangel said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. And Satan had already said, I'm going to go through this earth to see who I can seek and devour and destroy. God is allowing Satan to tempt. God unleashed Satan. God does not tempt us or test us. You already said in James 1:13, Satan is testing us. Satan, that's why God said, you're going to choose you whom this day who you're going to serve. If a test comes to you, it's of Satan. God created Satan, God created evil. So it's God is not testing us because that's already there. And so it's Satan testing us. He's trying to take us down, trying to take you down. So and he knows what our cup of tea is that can take us off our mark. Satan knows that. God knows it too, but Satan knows that. So he uses those things to try to knock us off our mark. The other thing is the tree of life and the tree of good knowledge were both in the midst of the garden. It's right there. They were both in the midst of the garden. She chose the tree of life because that's where Satan was, and when he saw her, he spoke to her.
He chose the tree of knowledge, you mean?
Right, right. He spoke to her. Now, right. There were truth and lies in what he said.
Right.
So the truth was, yes, your eyes are going to be open, and you're going to know knowledge of good and evil, but the lie was that you're not going to die that day. Well, for every day on earth is 1,000 years in heaven. So they didn't die that day as man knows it. But no man has ever lived over 1,000 years. That's the day that God was talking about. So Methuselah was the only one. He lived 960 years.
Before.
No man. So God's word was true. The day you eat of this fruit, the day that you should surely die. But they didn't understand God's years versus man's day. So,
all right.
What was the other? The reason why God came in and said, Adam, where art thou? Because God, in the cool of his voice, had came through the garden so many days and gave Adam instructions on everything. You know, gave him instructions on what fruits to eat, on what seeds to eat, gave him instructions on how to take care of the garden. So it was off for, as the Bible says, as his voice is walking through the cool of the garden, to not easily find Adam. So that's when he said, hey, Adam, where are you? But he already knew, but it was just a little off-putting because he had instructed Adam on everything in the garden all them days and gave Eve to Adam. And Adam had to give Eve all of those instructions. So the day that the cool of the voice, God was walking through the garden and he didn't easily find Adam, that's why he said that.
Okay, well, so but Mr. James, God already
but
knew
there is
where
no,
he was. Go ahead.
Huh?
No, he already knew where Adam was. And
he knew he was in a garden. He didn't know Adam was hiding and, you know, and Bagari knew, he said, wait a minute, did y'all eat of the tree that I told y'all not to eat? Because that's the only way that Adam and Eve, that was the only reason for them to hide themselves, if they knew they weren't, if they knew they didn't have any, you know, they didn't have, you know, clothes on.
Get that part.
Right.
We get that part. But to me, now, this is just my opinion, and we certainly do appreciate your commentary. God already knew. So he needed Adam to communicate with him because he had already known Adam had done what he did, him and Eve. And so, you know, now we get to the point where, Adam, where art thou? You know, he needed Adam to speak to him to find out what was going on. He already knew what was going on. He needed to hear from Adam, Adam's own confession. We're going to ask you to stand by, Sir James.
Well, he wanted to know how it came about. Not what happened. He wanted to know how it came about that you ate that.
But don't you think he even knew that? Don't you think? And then but we're going to stand back because I want to put this is a puzzle. I want to put more to it. Sir Ben, I want to bring you back in momentarily just for a second here, and I want to ask this question. I certainly believe, this is just my opinion, you all, I believe there are other worlds with other beings. They may not be in human form, but there are other worlds. I believe this without a shadow of a doubt, that there are other worlds where there is no sin. It does not exist on those other worlds, whether they're planets or whatever. We don't have access to them. We can't see them. We can't communicate with them, despite of Area 51, many of you all have heard about. But there are other worlds. So, Sir Ben, that being the case, Satan was kicked out of heaven and sent to earth where God's creation of beings are. And the garden of the tree of life was taken once maybe on earth, or was it? And it was taken back to heaven. Otherwise, when Adam and Eve ate of that forbidden fruit, they could have reached over to the tree of life and lived forever in their sinful state. Now, so, Sir Ben, the question to you is, I believe there are other worlds where there's no sin that exists. So as such, they get to see what we go through because we have committed sin through our ancestry of Adam and Eve. So are we a test to those other worlds? Sir Ben, your thoughts on that?
I agree with that, too, also. And the glorification of this whole experience that we're talking about is not only about us, but it's about God's grace and love. So God's grace and love is becoming even more evident to even the angels, to everybody, because like you said earlier, Adam and Eve should have died immediately. But because of his grace and love for us, he allowed us to live in spite of we should have truly died, even with the commandments.
But, right, and so, Sir Ben, this is just my thought also, and I respect all opinions. When God, it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when they sinned. God already had a plan of salvation for them through what you're talking about, his grace and his mercy. He already had a plan for them, but he had to allow them to go through the consequences of their conduct, of their behavior, of their act, of their performance, of what they did in disobedience of his commission or his command to them. Sir Ben, your thoughts on that, the plan of salvation?
The plan of salvation was made even before the earth was even put into a formation or its form. So he had already had the plan in place. So to answer that question, yes. We should be so fortunate to know that we have a Father that loves us so much that he's willing to, even though we've done what we weren't supposed to do, he gave us a means of escape, and he allowed us to still be able to have the plan of salvation that he put in place from the beginning with the tree of life with Adam and Eve. We still have access to that forever life.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in here. I want to bring you in, Demon Slayer. And I want to ask you this question. Demon Slayer, knowing that God is who he is, even through, first of all, let me begin by asking you, do you think God tests us or leads us into temptation, as Jesus put in his prayer? Lead us not into temptation. Do you think he tests us? And would he lead us into temptation?
No, I don't think he tests us. I think he puts you in a position to let you make a choice or a decision. Just like you said, he told you what the rules were. He told Adam and Eve what the rules were. Okay, this is the tree of the good life. And then it's just like you said, the serpent didn't lead him because he's sitting up in the tree. He's in the tree. So what made them eat the fruit?
What lured them? Someone used the word lured earlier. What lured them? And I think it was you.
I don't think nobody lured. I just think that when he told them about, okay, this is the fruit, don't eat of this fruit, people tend to go to things that they are forbidden to do, just like you tell a child not to touch a hot stove, and they try to do it anyway. I think it was something along the lines of that.
Okay, so Demon Slayer, is there really a difference between leading you into temptation and testing you? I mean, what's the purpose of leading you there and showing you, okay, this is what I want you to do and this is what I don't want you to do here? So you brought me here, but you've given me free will. It's up to me what I want to do with that. And now you're testing me, or you call it not a test. But what is it then? You said it's... You used another word. You know, we're lured or we're led there. Is there a difference? Why you brought me here? For what? Okay, so now let's just take another scenario. Now you have a good, let's just give a hypothetical here. This is strictly a hypothetical. You have a good friend. Let's say you're married. And your good friend, your best friend, is a real charmer. I mean, good-looking guy. He's a ladies' man. He's a womanizer, if you please. I mean, he's sweet with the women, and women just throw themselves at him. This is your best friend. And so now your wife, you want him to meet your wife for the first time. And, you know, and your wife is rather vulnerable, you know, but she's smart. She's intelligent. So would you feel comfortable taking your best friend to your wife to meet? And then you decide, you know what, she says, baby, we need some milk because I want to make you this cake. And then you're going to leave your best friend there with her. Tell me, you brought him to your house, but now she wants you to run to the store. All of a sudden she just thought about this when the milk could really wait. But when she saw this man, she's like, well, honey, why don't you just run while I entertain him? Would you leave your best friend there, this charmer, this womanizer, with your wife, Demon Slayer? I'm just asking.
First of all, you don't put a leave woman with no other man in the house. I'm like the third world countries. You don't put a man can't enter your house. I'm like my parents were. My own mother, she wouldn't let not one man in the house. Even if my dad's brother come over there, he couldn't stay for like a minute or two. And so, okay, you have to leave because my husband wouldn't approve of this. So you got to look at yourself as your own with your wife. Would your wife leave you in the house with another woman? She go get some daggone milk. No, you come on, go with me, get some milk. Why should I leave you there to entertain my wife? I entertain my own wife. Yeah, I don't need no other man to entertain my wife. You're putting your wife into a state of temptation.
Okay,
that's the thing about that's the thing about it.
Okay, so is that a test? Is that the same as a test? I'm just asking that if you were to leave her there or leave him with your wife, don't you trust your wife though? I mean, don't you
don't
trust her to go get the milk? It might take you. The milk store is like 30 minutes across town. You know, and she's like, but baby, I want to make this cake. I need you to go to the store, and your friend can stay here. She's seen this man now. So, Demon Slayer, can you just trust your wife that she's going to do the right thing?
It's not about trust. That's a stupid thing. That's a stupid thing to put your wife into, or your wife to put your husband into. Why would you leave somebody there with your wife or your husband like that? And if they can't just go with you and get some milk. I understand it. I mean, it's not about this. It's about decisions. It's about have common sense. That's what life is all about.
All right.
That's
we're
what
gonna
life is
ask
all
you
about.
Demon Slayer. Miss J, let's bring you in here. Miss J, so is that, I mean, your girlfriend, and I get what Demon Slayer is saying, but this is your best girlfriend. She looks like she's an angel that came from heaven. She's so pretty and gorgeous. And so now your husband is, you know, he says, well, honey, why don't you just, you know, run down to the store. The store is 30 minutes away. He done seen this woman, and in his mind, and then you want to really know what's going on, what type of man your husband is. Is that a test for him, Miss Jane?
Well, number one, I agree with you.
To your house. You led her to there. But was it leading her there to tempt your husband? What was it, Miss Jane?
It shouldn't be neither one. You should, number one, you should trust your wife.
Okay.
And number two, right. I can see leaving there during the daytime. What's the big deal if you trust? But overnight, if you gone out of town and your best friend, your husband's best friend wants to spend the night and you in the house, that's a different type of situation. Not that you don't trust your wife. You don't trust that man.
I would trust my wife, but
I wouldn't trust my best friend.
You can trust in the daytime when the sun is up, but you can't trust at night? Isn't trust trust?
No, I trust my spouse. No, I think it's more of trust, but it's more of the principle of the thing. You don't leave a man in the house with your wife overnight and you're not there and he's not family. You know, that's just crazy. I would not do that. And you know that you wouldn't have no man sleeping in the house with your wife and you don't went out of town. It ain't about trust. It's just not right.
Okay. We're going to ask you.
It's not right. That's right. Not, it's
we're
going
to ask you to stand by. We got a live one here tonight, you all. And this is only part one. The question, if you're just joining us tonight, is were Adam and Eve led into temptation relative to the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Sheila, I want to come back to you now, Sheila, and say, you know, sometimes isn't it a test? I mean, all of a sudden now, let's just say back to the scenario here, that the husband meets this woman, and now he sees her, and it's like, my goodness, this woman's body is so nice. She's so beautiful. And then he just happens to say to you, your friend is really, she's a nice-looking woman. And he says it like 8 times before the night is over. What would you be thinking, Miss Sheila?
I'd be kicking that friend out the front door.
Why'd you bring her there? Why did you bring her there then? Why did you bring her there? Huh?
You have to trust your spouse, and you also have to trust your friend. If you don't trust your friend, don't bring her to your house. If you don't trust your spouse, don't bring somebody in that's going to tempt him past the point that he can avoid. And definitely if you're worried about something like that, you're not going to leave them alone. But you have to trust your spouse, I mean, and discuss situations and make sure that you can trust them. But if you have a friend that you're worried about putting the moves on your spouse or whatever, you don't bring her to your house, first of all.
Okay, but that's your friend. You've talked about your friend to your spouse. Now your spouse wants to meet your friend. Oh, if that's your friend, you should bring her. Michelle, I want to ask you here, was it about God trusting Adam and Eve to do what he needed them to do, the right thing, or they exercised their free will that he gave them that they had a choice to do? Which is it?
They definitely exercised their free will, and it was a test. And also, I think we forget about the fact that Satan was very attractive. I mean, we think of a snake, and of course, you know, women hate snakes, but we forget the fact that it was a very attractive, it was a temptation. It was a test by God, but it was a temptation by the devil.
All right, do you know that, and during those times, snakes could fly? Did you realize that? Did you know that?
Well, that would be even scarier to me, but they were, I guess they were pretty in some way.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to Pastor Rowe. I want to bring you in here, Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, and we're going to ask all of you all to stand by. Please stand by. Pastor Rowe, the question is, you see how sometimes we can, all of us, are subject to getting things incorrect, or so we think we may have certain things known, which are not necessarily discovered, or we have information that we're privy to. So, Pastor Rowe, my question to you is, why is it so widespread that people have said that forbidden fruit is an apple? Why? Because it could be the connotations in our brains know that we've been conditioned to see an apple is pretty and red and beautiful and shiny. So now we associate that apple because pictures have shown stories of the Garden of Eden and they represented an apple. When we could also look at fruit as being, when God talks about fruit, it also has a connotation to sex associated with it. Sex, be fruitful and multiply. That means you're having sex out there to procreate. So, Pastor Rowe, my question becomes to you, where did we get the notion? You know, are we creating things to believe ourselves when that's not what the word says? Talk to me, Pastor Rowe.
Well,
Well, you know, I just feel, you know, we are the products of our thoughts, you know, and you know, people just come up with different things. That's why we have to, you know, to study, you know, to show ourselves approved so we can rightly divide the word of truth, you know. And so that's, you know, what it's all about. You know, Satan is always trying to, you know, a little drop of dye in water will color all of the water, just a little drop. In other words, a little leaven is the whole lump. You know, so you got to nip it in the bud, you know, right there. And wisdom, you're saying so much. Wisdom is, you know, if I would never leave a man there with my wife. I say, honey, you know the best thing to get to make this cake good. Come on with me. And also, you know, but I would never just, you know, just leave a man there with my wife. So I've killed two birds with one stone. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, so Pastor, while I've got you here, so where is... Does that suggest or imply or infer that your wife might not do the right thing? You know, no, of course you're not trusting the man, but what about your wife having that trust and faith in her? Pastor Rowe, talk to me, please. Or
well,
are
you know,
subjecting her to temptation?
Well, you know, just like my brother, the demon slayer, said, you know what I mean? You know, you know, faith, foolishness, presumption. Sometimes we just pure foolish, and, you know, I would never do that, leave a person there with my wife, you know. But, you know, you got to use wisdom, you know. I would have, you know, hey, you need to get out of the house. Come on with me, and honey, come on with me. We want to make sure we get the right ingredients for the cake. But I wouldn't just want to do it. I mean, I think it's foolish. That's the way I think, to leave a man there with your wife. That don't make sense.
Okay, but Pastor Rowe, I've had multiple clients that have come in to see me, and you know what they say? You know, either the wife didn't want to go after they met someone, or the husband didn't want to go after he met her friend, and he insisted on staying there to entertain because they had ulterior motives in some cases. But then the question is, you brought them there. You lured them there, or you led them there, and now it's in their mind. And I've even had a client recently that says she met her husband's good friend, a charming guy. And then she came to me for help, and she says, I've been going through something with my husband for the past 18 years. He can't get it out of his head because we were intimate one night, and I called his best friend's name. Pastor Rowe, help me with that. She says she did it by mistake.
Well, you know, when you entertain these things, you know, what's in you is going to come out, you know. But it's all, you got to know how to respond to different situations, you know, to accidentally call his name, you know, because if you, you know, you're thinking about things, you know, it's got a way of reproducing itself.
So couldn't
you know,
it have been a mistake, though? Couldn't it have been an innocent mistake that she called his name? But she's been living this for 18 years that her husband won't let it go. Pastor Rowe, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. J, I want to bring you back in here, Ms. J. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. We've got about 27 minutes before we bring this part one to a close. Ms. J, I want to ask you this. People do make mistakes in life, don't we? Don't we all, Ms. J?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, so having done that, was it Adam and Eve, did they make a mistake that requires second and third and fourth and fifth chances, right? Would you say that's fair to say?
I guess. But I'm, you know, I'm looking at, you know, I know you said did they make a mistake, but how the world is today, I wonder if they had not done what they did.
We wouldn't be in the mess we're in. We would not be in the mess we're in. And Ms. J, I'm glad you brought that up because you know why? Ms. J, we talk about God being loving and fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, Jay, the question becomes, let's say you got three kids, you know, your oldest one, the middle one, and then the youngest one. And all of a sudden now, the youngest child, because the first two messed up, you're punishing the youngest one. How is that fair, Ms. Jane?
It's not fair. It's not fair. You shouldn't do that.
Okay, so Ms. Jane, because of Adam and Eve, the The rest of us are going through hell. So,
exactly.
But the Bible tells us that all things work together for the good. So
well, that's
we
why us ladies, we always talk down at Eve. We say, Eve, if it weren't for you, you know, we wouldn't go through a lot of pain that we go through. But
well,
that's
if I were,
life turned up.
Yeah, and this is just my opinion, you all, and I'm not saying I'm right, but I think God was even more upset with Adam than even Eve. And then Adam wimped out because he said, the woman you gave me. He put it right back on God. He put it right back, and instead of defending her, he put it right back on God, the woman you gave me. I didn't ask you for her. You gave it to him. But then when he woke up out of that deep sleep and saw how gorgeous she was and saw her body was so different from his, have mercy, help us, Holy Ghost, as men. So the thing is, when he saw her, after seeing all these animals, I mean, come on now, please, really. And ladies, with all due respect, going to not men, in our minds, that's like the, after seeing animals, and you see this, please,
sin
come
continued.
On.
Sin is continued.
So, Ms. J, the question becomes, we're suffering because of this, right?
Right.
So, Ms. J, how do we keep encouraging each other that it is what it is, but we've got to endure, you know, because God loves us. How do we do that?
We just got to live on his word. That's all we can do, you know, because he left us some encouraging words, and we just have to live upon those words. That's all, you know?
Yeah. All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Mr. James, I want to bring you back in. I want to bring you in. And I want to ask this question, you know, as we're going forward tonight. And we have another caller that will be responding in just a moment. We're going to go to 813-735 in just a moment. Let's see here. I think we've got Sir James online. Sir James, are you still with us? All right. Let's bring in Sir Ben. Sir Ben, now that we've looked and said that there are other worlds, and I certainly believe there to be other worlds. Why, are we the guinea pigs? What do you think?
Actually, no, we're not the guinea pigs. We are the main subject. The other worlds are adjectives and verbs and pronouns and other things, but we are the main subject because we were made in the image of Christ, and he was very specific about that. So what we do is an indication of who Christ is. So the rest of the universe and other worlds and other planets can see the true nature of Christ through us.
All right. We're certainly going to ask you to stand by. I want to go to, we're going to go all the way over to Tampa now. Let's go to, the name is not coming up in the queue, so we're going to ask to give you a name, 813-735. Who do we have with us? And welcome. You press 1 in our queue, 813-735. All right, perhaps they're just listening in. All right, let's go back to, unless your phone is on mute. All right, let's go back and continue with tonight's topic. We've got some scenarios here that we want to get to, and let me go and take a look at some of these scenarios. And we're going to begin with Demon Slayer, let's begin with you. Here's a scenario here. We're talking about where Adam and Eve led into temptation of knowledge. You got a couple thinking, right, during COVID, whether or not they should get the vaccine. Didn't they just trust God on that decision? And if people are dying around them, should they go ahead and get it? What are your thoughts on that? Is it a matter of trusting God? You got a couple that's contemplating whether or not to get the COVID vaccine. Should they trust God on that and get it when people, their loved ones around them are dying? Could it be that God has given man knowledge for the vaccine? What do you think? Talk to me. Remember polio? I mean, we talk about polio. the vaccine back then that was killing people and so forth and so on? Does God give the knowledge, or is it the enemy is trying to take out everybody, but God gives man knowledge to keep us going? Talk to me, Demon Slayer.
I think it's a decision that you have to make yourself. I've never had the COVID-19 shot. All I did was mask up. They told me that I didn't have to work during COVID, but I worked anyway. So I think it's your own decision to take the medicine or not. Me, I don't like taking medicine. But I do like doing the precautions of not getting COVID. So, but I think it's by the grace of God, I never got it. But I've seen a lot of people that get it and get the shot and the booster shot and everything, and they still catch it like 2 or 3 times. So I haven't caught it not one time. I haven't even got a shot. So I think it's a decision that you have to make on your own.
All right. We're certainly going to ask you to stand by. Sheila, I want to bring you in here along the same lines, Sheila, along the same lines. Is it possible that God gives man knowledge, that God gives man knowledge and wisdom? It comes from God. Because the enemy, if the enemy had his way, he would destroy the whole planet. So when he comes up, the enemy, whatever is behind all of this, Sheila, orchestrates to get rid of humanity, to get rid of mankind, to get rid of God's creation. God gives man an antidote for the vaccine. But then what happens, and we're certainly not pushing a shot tonight, you all, or your decision. I like what Demon Slayer said about it, but I'm just presenting a scenario here that it could be shingles. You know, if the devil could take you out, he'll use by any means necessary. So doesn't God give man knowledge through science? What do you think, Sheila?
Yeah, I think he absolutely does give man knowledge through science. I think there's a lot of scientists and doctors that are Christians that do pray for God's wisdom when they're trying to develop things to help people, whether it's, you know, the shot or whatever. So I definitely think that. And I think what he said is correct, that each person has to decide for their own, pray to God for his wisdom within them to make the decision.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Sir Ben, I want to bring you back in. We're about 18 minutes before we close tonight's show. And thank you all for your patience for being with us on this segment. They're usually 60 minutes, but tonight is 90 minutes because I knew it would be a deep topic tonight. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here and ask, Sir Ben, I mean, there are people who, and one of my very dear friends, and I'm certainly not pushing the vaccine, or I believe in people exercising their free will. So, mm-hmm. Sir Ben, one of my friends has 4 children, and she had this persistent cough. Her children pleaded with her, Mama, please go to the doctor. Please go to the doctor. Mama, please get a shot. Go find out what's going on. And the mother went into the room, and she simply said, leave me alone. I'm going to pray to God because God will deliver me. God will deliver me. I'm not worried about no vaccine. And, again, we're not pushing vaccine or anything. It's about your own free choice, as Demon Slayer has said. But lo and behold, that woman's 4 children pleaded with her because of their love for their mom. And their mom had faith in God that he would deliver her. Within 4 hours, that woman, a friend of mine, died. She passed away. And it was determined that she had COVID. And she was adamant about getting vaccine. And we're certainly not pushing it, you all. But the children are now so saddened because they're saying if she had just gone to the doctor and gotten some treatment to find out what's going on. Because if you got that chronic, you know, thing going on, a cough, that's persistent for more than one day, then the wisdom is out there. Sir Ben, why is it that some people ignore thinking that God has placed wisdom in his creation? Talk to me,
well,
Sir Ben.
Word, the word said in all things ask for wisdom, because wisdom is the key to understanding and knowledge. So a lot of times, and this is no negative reflection on the church, but a lot of times we've been indoctrinated to things that are not benefit to us. We are supposed to use the will of God to be forthcoming in our wisdom. In other words, you don't go to a plumber to fix an electrical problem. You don't go to an eye doctor for a heart problem. God has given men specific knowledge about different things, and we as a people should know that we should have to go and check these things out because God has put these people in place to do the things that they were destined or designed to do. He gave them the wisdom and the knowledge to do these things. Now, in all due respect, and I'm going to make sure I say this, in all due respect, we still have to honor people in their decisions, even if it doesn't fit what we think they should do, why they should do it. Oh, well, you know, if it was me, I would have done it. Well, it's not you. And so we have to meet people at the place where they are. Do I have a problem with her not wanting to go to the doctor? No, I don't. Because her faith was saying, in spite of what y'all are saying to me, I still believe God is going to take care of me. And you know what? He did. Because we think of death as being a bad thing. I don't. I celebrate death because I understand if your heart is right and you really truly believe in God, your destination is not when you close your eyes. That's just the beginning of eternal life if you love the Lord. So how can I have a fault with somebody who said, I'm going to trust him when I can't trace him or see him, go and lay down in their bed and go to sleep with no sense of I'm worried about what's happening, I'm concerned about what's happening. No, they know that the Lord is going to take care of them. So I honor her for her faithfulness in believing that.
All right, Sir Ben, we certainly do appreciate that. That was a powerful thing. We're going to go to the phone lines. The name is not coming up for some reason in the queue. Let's go 310963. Who do we have? Welcome.
My name is Paulette Barnet. Danita referred me to you. She asked me to call in. And I'm doing so. And in reference to what I heard earlier, because I had to go offline for a moment, parenthetically, before I say that, the gentleman that just spoke with wisdom and a lot of depth. I came home from the doctor and found my husband dead in the bathtub August the 4th. Now, the coroner said he died of heart issues, but the cardiologist didn't understand that because his heart was very strong. Sometimes people die in their sleep and their family didn't even know they were ill. I don't even think in Jerry's case that she even knew that she was ill. Our walk of faith is to accept to the best of our level of faith, what is before us. And all things working together for good is developing our faith. Things happen to us. We experience things in life to mature us in Christ. And when we get angry and we don't get past that anger, that's a stumbling block. Being able to get past things and trust God regardless of our present circumstances is the key to growth. One of the things that I've noticed since I've been listening to this apostle out of Nigeria and listening to some of the worship services out of Africa, it's very powerful. The Word of God tells us that we should seek meat and get past just having milk. And I think most of the, from my experience, and I was brought up in the Church of God in Christ many years ago, we're spoiled and we're very commercialized. I'm not saying all churches are because I don't know all churches. But from what I'm exposed to, we're not seeking the meat, the real seriousness of our faith. And churches are basically just giving us milk.
All right. We're going to certainly, Ms. Paulette, we certainly are sorry to hear of your loss and glad. And I certainly agree with you that we're seeking milk as opposed to the meat, getting to the core. And to get the meat, in my opinion, requires us to do our own individual studies. So as the Bible commissions us to do, study to show thyself approved, thyself approved. And that's what it takes. So thank you for sharing that. We certainly apologize, and we're certainly sorry to hear of your loss. And we're glad that God has got you on a journey where you're growing, where you're feeling like you're growing. And that's what all of us need to do. We're going to ask you to stand by. Tonight we're talking about where Adam and Eve led into temptation relative to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This has been a deep one, and it's been only part one. We're about 8 minutes before we bring the show to an absolute close. Sir Ben, we're going to ask if you'll close us out in about 7.5 minutes. Sir Ben, would you do that for us tonight?
I will.
Okay, we're going to give you time to go ahead and prepare for that. Let me go ahead and deal with some of, actually look into some more of these scenarios. Now, here's another scenario. Pastor Roll, I want to give this one to you just quickly here because we're running out of time. There's a couple who've been praying and trying for 3 years to get pregnant. This is a couple, a married couple. The woman later discovers that her husband has a condition of male infertility, okay, of which he knew about all along and did not want to have children, and he married his wife under false pretenses. But the woman's been praying, and he's been praying with her. So, Pastor Rowe, you know, when we talk about a test, what was he doing to this woman? Pastor Rowe, your opinion.
Well, I would just basically, Dr. Walker just called it, you know, deceit, you know, and it's sad, you know. A lot of times you don't really know the true character of certain situations until you go through it, you know. And I can definitely understand how she may have felt because he was, you know, he lied, you know. He didn't share with her, you know, the truth about things. So, you know, we have to pray that serenity prayer. You know, that's a powerful prayer. You know, to accept the things you cannot change and the wisdom to know the difference, you know, so
right.
on and so forth.
Right.
So, that's
so Pastor Rowe, my follow-up question to that, or actually a statement here, the enemy, see, many people have it, and this is why it's so important, as Ms. Paula was saying, you know, we got to study. We got to get meat as opposed to just milk. And that meat is tougher. That meat is solid. It's a foundation, you know. And so having that is going to make a difference because, see, we sometimes don't get it because we don't study. And you got to study means a daily study of the Word of God for yourself. That's the spiritual food that a lot of times we're liking. That's the meat. Just like you got to have the physical food, there's physical food to sustain the body. There's spiritual food to sustain the soul, the spirit. And because that's why God said man cannot live by bread alone. By bread, that's the physical. He's talking about the spiritual. We're spiritual beings, Pastor Roe, as you often say, have a human experience. So now we come to that point. We come to that point where we begin to look, and it's like as if to say, here we are as these spiritual beings. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He put it into my spirit. The war is not our war. The battle is not our battle. The battle was always between good and evil, God and the serpent, God and Lucifer, God and Satan, who was the archangel at one point in time, the fourth in command, if you please, the fourth in command. And now, kicked out. He wants to destroy everything that God has created because he's been kicked out. You see, the reason why the battle is not ours, even though Adam and Eve did this and we're descendants of them, the battle is not ours. That's why Sir Ben can talk about death is not the end. It's not the end. It's the beginning for eternal life, and I agree with that. And what happens if we believe in God, you know, and we follow his path, you know, the road less traveled. And I'll tell you something. See, the reason why we know that the battle is not ours, because we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but in the battle is in the spiritual realm. That's where the battle is. It's a spiritual battle with God and the devil and his angels, the fallen angels. That's where the battle is. The battle was never ours. It's the Lord's, and Yolanda Adam in her music talks about that. So, Pastor Roe, that's a statement here. Why, Pastor Roe, do some of us become discouraged and thinking that we have done so bad? Our ancestors, Adam and Eve, have done so bad, which, you know, they exercise free will. But God in his righteousness, in his grace, in his love, in his mercy, extended to us, you know, his plan of salvation. So don't we have a lot to still be, my question to you, Pastor Roe, to be grateful for, to have hope in God, to have trust in him, to know that he is just and he is fair despite the enemy trying to deceive us. Pastor Roe, talk to me quickly, please.
Okay, well, I'll just say this very, very shortly. You know, there's a song that say we should never be discouraged, but take it to the Lord in prayer. But in all that Adam and Eve, they went through, the mercy of God, you know, when they, you know, we say they got kicked out of the garden. But God was so merciful that he had an angel to come and put a lock on the gate so they couldn't go back in. Because if he didn't show mercy, they would have went back in and ate of that fruit, and they would have lived in their sins forever. But God gave us a chance when he put that lock in, that they would not live in their sins forever. Jesus is our means of salvation. What is greater than the justice versus mercy? God showed mercy by locking that the gate, having the angels lock the gate so they shouldn't go back and eat of that tree and live in their sins forever.
And then to add to that, Pastor Roe, he actually put cherubims. Those are angels, some powerful angels that he placed there, you know, to keep people from going in with the fieriness, okay? And then God ultimately took the tree of life back into heaven. Wow, this is that. Because otherwise, we could live in our sins, and that's not how God is. And Sir Ben will close us out with that in just a moment. But before we go to that, I mean, cherubims. Those are some powerful angels that God placed to keep them from going. That's the lock that he's talking about. These were actually angels. So now we're going to go over here. Demon Slayer, did you have a final thought before we bring in Sir Ben?
My final thought would be, you're going to be tempted, but you got to be, like we talked about yesterday, you got to be disciplined enough to make wise decisions and choices, even though, like when God told you about the tree of good and life, it's out there for you to have, I mean, for you not to eat. So it's whether for you or not to follow the rules or not, because that's what temptation is, to alter your destiny in life.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to ask you certainly to stand by. We know that some of the others are just listening in. And at this time, I want to just go with Sheila. Sheila, this is before we bring in Sir Ben. Sheila, did you have a final thought on where Adam and Eve led into temptation relative to the knowledge of good and evil? And then how important is it for us to trust God? Just 15 seconds or less.
I think they definitely were tested in the garden, and I think they chose wrong, and I do think that there was an out that they could have taken and chosen different, which I think God gives us all. When we're tempted or tested, he says he'll give us a way out, and we can, you know, make sure that we are avoiding those temptations so that we don't fall as well.
All right, certainly. We appreciate that. Listen, we're out of time. We got to go over to Sir Ben and close the show out. Sir Ben, where Adam and Eve led into temptation relative to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Sir Ben.
All of us are Adam and Eve, whether we want to believe it or not. We are all faced with different challenges, different tests, different temptations. Some of us, we pass with flying colors. Others, we fail dramatically. The point of the matter is that God says, don't worry about that, because as long as you look at what you did and go back and say, Father, please forgive me, for I have done wrong, and he will forgive us. He will take that, whatever that sin was, and place it into the farthest reaches of the earth, the sea, and drop it there, never to be brought up again anymore. So if I told you that all of us, even in our sinful states, even if we think we're the best and the good, even if we think we're the worst,
He loves us all. He sees each and every one of us as the apple of his eye. And it doesn't matter what church, religion, whatever you practice, you study, the purpose of God is, I want you to learn how to depend on me. The word is great. It gives us a goal and a pattern to follow to be closer to Christ. But Christ says, if you just accept me, if you just say, God, I accept you, I believe, that is the beginning of our route to heaven. And our goal is, and I don't care what you think about it or what you say, if your goal is not to make it to heaven, then everything you're doing is not even worth the energy or the forefront to go and be arguing and fussing and debating about any of this. But for those of us who are believers, and I emphasize the word believers, if your goal is to make it to heaven, then all you got to do is keep your mind stayed up on Christ and keep your heart pure, because in the end, none of this is going to matter, because one day we're going to be at the pearly gates and we're going to have eternal life. We're going to live forever, and we're going to be in the presence of who God really is. And if you don't want that, that's fine. That's why he gave us a choice. But for those of us who do, keep working, keep going, keep trying your best, because you know there is a reward at the end of this life here on earth. Thank you and have a good night.
All right, Sir Ben, we certainly do appreciate your closing commentary as always. And listen, we're clearly out of time, you all. I've got to get off the air. I want to thank all of you all for your patience and endurance as we took this program to 90 minutes tonight. They're normally only 60 minutes, and we certainly do appreciate all of you all for this part one segment. Please, we're going to be here tomorrow morning for 6:30, 8:30 a.m. for a day you don't want to miss. Tomorrow is our Miracle Prayer Day program. The theme is God's Soldiers on the Mental Illness Journey, Part 2. Until tomorrow morning or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
On the show. It was a good night, show everyone. And great closing, Benny on the Block.
Amen to that, Sir Ben. You were awesome.
Okay.
You were super
awesome. I'm at a function, so I just called in towards the end. You can hear the music in the background. And God bless you, Mr. Brother Lorenzo. Be safe on the road. And everyone, stay safe and stay safe.
And God bless you, Brother Lorenzo. We love you, brother.
All
and
right.
We appreciate your services to our country.
Okay. I love you all.
Amen. You as well, Dr. Rowe.
Okay, take care. God bless.
God bless.
Take care, Sister Marjorie. God bless you.
All right. Take care, Pastor Rowe. All the best to you all. Okay. What's going on, friend? All of you.